Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Lindsay Patterson. Over 40% of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions come from buildings. That's according to research led by Marilyn Brown of the Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta. Brown spoke with Earth and Sky's Jorge Salazar about innovations in lighting, heating, and cooling to reduce the carbon footprint of buildings.
Could you tell me a little bit of the findings that you and your colleagues found?
Buildings are a very large contributor to U.S. CO2 emissions. They account for, I calculated, more than 40% of total U.S. emissions. That's a sizable footprint and an opportunity to address global climate change that you just can't avoid. If you're going to look at the problem, you've got to tackle it, at least in part, by seeing what we can do to make buildings greener.
What are these buildings that we're talking about, and what do you mean by making them greener?
So we did our old backcasting about how buildings have evolved over the past 25 years, and then we looked forward and said, well, now what could be done in the next 25 years? And looking forward, you've got to account for the fact that buildings are a very durable commodity. Most of the buildings today are still going to be here in 2030, and so we've got to make them more energy efficient. But at the same time, we're going to have something like 50 to 75% more buildings in the landscape over the next 25 years than exist today. So the new structures have got to be efficient and greenhouse gas friendly.
What are the new technologies that,
well,
you're talking about?
Let's take, for example, lighting, because that's such a great story. There's been such a significant improvement in lighting, and much can be done with existing products on the market that you can go to Walmart or wherever and purchase. For instance, a lot of hype you've seen about the potential for fluorescence to replace incandescence. The incandescent bulb, say a 75-watt bulb, can be replaced with the same lighting or luminescence as an 18-watt fluorescent bulb. So these compact fluorescents have really taken off. The problem that they've had over time is that they're more expensive. So you go and you cost out a fluorescent screw-in, and you have to pay on the order of $2 a bulb, while you can get an incandescent for 50 cents. But I've done calculations with my students at Georgia Tech. They went and metered all of their dorm rooms and replaced their incandescents with fluorescents. And we calculated on average that over a 10-year period, that incandescent bulb really cost them $77. And the compact fluorescent really cost them only $18. That's including the first cost plus the electricity needed to keep them running over a 10-year period, using them only 25% of the time.
One of the G-Wiz technologies that was covered in your report was this technology of hybrid lighting that incorporates both natural lighting and also these energy-saving lighting systems. Could you talk a little bit about that? What is that?
Sure. That system is called hybrid solar lighting, and it was invented at Oak Ridge National Lab. And what it does, it transports sunlight into buildings to illuminate interior spaces. Mostly the larger commercial buildings is its target audience, and there are quite a few of these systems out there. So you have roof-mounted collectors that concentrate the sunlight into optical fibers, and these fibers carry the sunlight into the building, into light fixtures. And these light fixtures also contain electric lamps. For instance, they may be combined with fluorescent tubes, so that whether there is sunshine or not, the lighting in that room will be very bright and appealing. But when possible, it'll be lit entirely from natural daylight that's just been transported into the room. It's a very different and, you know, very elegant way to save energy. You're not having to burn anything to create electricity to generate the lighting. It's all natural sunlight just transported. I think this is going to be quite transformational. And there have been studies that have showed that in addition to being highly efficient, you don't have any losses with the electricity production. It's also very appealing. People do like to see sunlight. They like the color of natural light. They can distinguish it from the color of an artificial lamp.
Could you take a couple minutes to maybe talk about the role of some of these certification programs? There's Energy Star, and then there's the LEED building certification.
The Energy Star program, of course, is a tremendous way to educate consumers as to what to buy. So, for instance, I had to replace my dryer, and I only considered Energy Star clothes dryers. It's just a kind of, I think, a minimal standard. You just got to do it. Should do it. Might cost you a little bit more, but over the life cycle of the appliance, you get your money back. So Energy Star products and labeling has made such a difference. I understand that it is one of the most recognized consumer icons that exists in the commercial market. So it's really gained a great foothold. The LEED program you mentioned, Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, has done something similar. It's added a performance index to new construction so that a builder or a building owner or designer knows exactly what they're going to get in terms of the environmental friendliness of the structure. So you can build a minimum to LEED, or you can build silver, gold, platinum, all different, you know, gradations of levels of commitment to sustainability. And the market's not what it used to be. With all of these information programs, the consumer can be much smarter making their decisions.
Could we maybe talk about retrofitting what we've already got?
Well, what I would recommend, and have told this to my students, and in fact they've gone out and done it as part of Georgia Tech's classroom assignments, and that is they've taken gadgets that allow them to meter every electricity-consuming item in their house or dorm room to figure out how much they're using for different purposes. And if you don't know how much electricity is being used for which devices, then you really don't know what to tackle first.
Well, now, these are safe. You don't need to be an engineer to be able to use one of these things, right? What are they called? What are we looking for?
Well, the one that we use is called a kilowatt meter. That's a kilowatt meter. And one of the readouts is how many kilowatts over a particular time a device is consuming. So you might put it into the plug, and then you plug your lamp into it, and you can determine the kilowatt hours that it's consuming. And you multiply that by the cost of electricity in your area, and you know exactly what burning that lamp, that bulb, is costing you, say, over a year period or so. I think that's a great way to start, to know how you're using energy in your own home. It turns out that there are a lot of things you shouldn't do, like you wouldn't want to go and replace your closet bulbs with the high-efficiency expensive bulbs because you don't use those very much, and you'd find that out through these calculations. Insulation is almost always at the top of the list in terms of energy savings in homes, checking the insulation in your attics, checking the leakage, going through and using some of these foam insulation products that you can get in a can, and just go and fill every crack that you find in your attic or in your basement. Weather stripping, any kind of leakage prevention is going to pay back. Those are really the low cost and most effective things to do. Saves you all year round, saves for air conditioning and space heating in the wintertime.
You know, I wanted to touch on one thing about your new book about myths that the American public has about energy. Would you like to maybe, you know, while I got you in line here, could you maybe talk about what is the biggest myth that people have about energy, energy use, energy efficiency? What's the biggest one?
Well, the biggest myth, I think, is that there is no energy crisis. And people approach this from different perspectives. Some people are technologists, they're innovators, they think that science will solve any problems we're facing. There are those who think we have the resources, we're just haven't fully exploited them. And then there are those that say we don't have an energy crisis, markets are just being manipulated, so blackouts and price spikes are just market manipulation. So I've seen in the literature a great deal of debunking of the energy crisis reality And I think that that's the biggest problem we have. There are a lot of other myths, too, like the myth that we've become so much more efficient over time that there's no more efficiency to be had. Or the myth that land, there's not enough land to feed and fuel the nation. These are myths that we also talk about in the book, Energy in American Society. So thank you so much for letting me mention a few of them.
Could you maybe go back a second? I mean, are you saying that there is an energy crisis?
I am saying there is an energy crisis, indeed. So what I did was to create an index with 12 different measures and look at those measures over time, before the Arab oil embargo and today. And I address things like the state of the electric grid. Is it more or less reliable today than then? Looked at oil security. Are we importing more or less than before the embargo? Well, we're importing 60%. We were importing less than 20% in 1970. Just every indicator suggests that we are less sustainable. Our energy system is less reliable today than 30 years ago, and I don't see the trends turning around.
Dr. Brown, thank you. Is there what is one thing that you'd like the public to walk away with here about energy use, energy efficiency?
I guess it's the empowerment message that you really can do a lot. Every individual can make smarter decisions if they look more carefully at the impacts of their purchasing behavior. So I think it's the notion that we can all make a difference.
That was Jorge Salazar speaking with Marilyn Brown of the Georgia Institute of Technology on green building. This has been an Earth and Sky presentation.
We're at earthsky.org.